Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities, or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to Stuff You Missed in History Class from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hello and welcome to the podcast. I'm editor Candace Gibson, joined today by the ever valiant and ever noble and true Sir Josh Clark.
Hey, Candace. Thanks.
Hi there.
Thank you for knighting me just now.
You're very welcome.
That's like the third time this month.
I know. I'm really trying to get on Josh's good side. He's just been so darn chivalrous and nice. I just had to do something, you know, quid pro quo.
The cape over the puddle is what you're referring to.
And you held a door for me about 2 weeks ago.
That's true, too. I guess I have been kind of chivalrous. Good. Thank
you. Indeed. And, you know, we could use a little bit more of that in our daily lives. I'm not saying we all have to go around whipping out swords from stones, like my favorite legend of all time, King Arthur, but there are certain principles and values from the Arthurian legend that I like to apply to my daily life.
Well, they're actually kind of universal.
They are. They're, what are these qualities again? We have honor and
valor
and courage. Maybe not stealing the king's wife. That's a good one.
That's a nice one, too. You know, what's odd is that a lot of these parts of chivalry, or a lot of the values that fall under the umbrella of chivalry, also kind of jive with like Christian values as well.
They do. You're absolutely
kind of,
right.
Which is kind of significant because I remember part of the Arthurian legend is that when England needs him most, Arthur will rise from the dead to come back to save it, which sounds an awful lot like another person. Who is that?
I know who you're hinting at.
Who?
Jesus.
Oh, okay. You did know. Wow.
I did. And, you know, there's a very good reason that it sounds a lot like Christian stories. And that's because when the legend of Arthur was first put on paper, it was back with Geoffrey of Monmouth. He started penning it down back in the 12th century, in the 1100s. And then after Geoffrey of Monmouth, Christian of Troyes, or Chrétien de Troyes, he picked it up and penned his own version. Mm-hmm. And after Chrétien de Troyes, there was the Vulgate cycle. And this was a version of the legends of Arthur that married the story with very Christian concepts. Mm-hmm. And then after that version was written, Sir Thomas Malory adopted that and created his very famous, very well reputed and known, La Mort d'Arthur, or The Death of Arthur. And that was the version that everyone was working from. So if there's certain principles of Christianity that seem to jive with the Arthurian legend, that's why.
Well, yeah, I think it was kind of the two were married together because about the time that it was being put to paper, Christianity was being introduced to Western Europe. You know, prior to this time, peasants had really no reason to toil. And then all of a sudden, they have Christianity, which says, you know, the harder you work on earth, or the worse your lot on earth, the better it is in heaven. All of a sudden, they toil a little harder, and the feudal, you know, kings were saying, keep at it, you know, thanks a lot. So it makes a lot of sense that, that this national hero would be married with those same kind of Christian values as well.
And just to give you a little background on this national hero, I know you probably have some ideas of who Arthur was, whether you see him as Sean Connery or the very skinny, scrawny, prepubescent cartoon from Disney Sword and Stone.
Or Clive Owen.
Or Clive, my preferred version, really.
Same here.
But Arthur, you know, it's really hard to tell the story of Arthur because there's so many disparate versions. But pretty much, he was a young lad growing up in England at a time when it had recently been invaded and their former leader had been dethroned, and he saw a sword and a stone. He pulled it out, and by virtue of that, he became king because that was Excalibur.
He was the new Gordon Brown.
Indeed, indeed. Yeah. Other versions of the story have the Lady of the Lake handing him the sword and telling him that he was to rule the country. So from there, he took his trusty sword, Excalibur, and built the mighty fortress Camelot, a stronghold for his kingdom. And once inside, he started devising a very innovative and egalitarian concept called the Round Table. And this really was pretty radical, because before there had always been positions of authority within the knighthood, and, you know, someone was always top nine, somebody was, you know, sort of bottom rung. But with Arthur, everyone was equal. It was a round table. Round.
That was a good way to lead.
It was.
Yeah.
And because he was such a good leader, everybody kind of wants a piece of him. You know, the same way that the U.S. wants to claim Posh, and yet she still has British roots. Everyone wants to say, she's our girl. Everyone said that about Arthur. The British, the Welsh.
Well, actually, the British kind of, one could make a case, the British pilfered Arthur and propped him up as a poster boy for their national values, you know, things that, he was a famous figure that, conquered evil and united, you know, this land, wherever the land actually was during, you know, his time, and led people out of this darkness and out of danger and fear. And he wasn't necessarily English. The Welsh, on the other hand, seemed to be perfectly content with Arthur remaining English. There's a guy out there who's found some evidence that if Arthur did live, he was a Welshman, and the Welsh aren't really doing a whole lot to, you know, pick up that gauntlet and run with it.
You know, it's funny, this evidence of Arthur's existence, it's pretty touchy.
Mm-hmm.
Because if this is a matter of national pride and people do want a piece of Arthur, what they need is proof. And they're turning to these supposed historical relics, and they're saying, here it is. Here's proof that Arthur existed. And you were asking me about one of these earlier.
The round table you were talking about, it supposedly is hanging in a castle. Well, there is a round table hanging in a castle in England, and it was supposedly Arthur. So, I mean, wouldn't that prove that, you know, he was an actual person? Wouldn't that take him out of the realm of fiction and put him into the realm of fact?
Well, it would, except for one tiny hitch.
What?
It's not authentic.
Oh.
So it's fiction.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to disappoint
you. That would definitely make it fiction.
That would make it fiction. And a lot of these historical relics and dates come from Thomas Malory, because, again, he was the one who put this into context and actually named landmarks in England and, you know, pretty much said Arthur was here. And that wasn't the case. And, in fact, the place that he claimed was Arthur's birthplace, Tintagel Castle, that wasn't built until the 1100s, and that was centuries after Arthur was supposed to have lived. And a lot of people think now that the reason he named that place is because it was affiliated with his patron who commissioned his work of literature.
Toadying.
There you go. And as for the round table in question, well, here's where your bubble's really going to be burst. Well, some scholars carved and dated it, and it only dated back to 1340.
Mm.
Yeah, yeah. So now they're starting to believe that it was commissioned by Henry VIII, because people were really fascinated by the Arthurian legend and medieval culture, and he wanted a replica.
Yeah, it's understandable. I could not feel more disillusioned right now, but at least I'm still a knight.
Well, that is true.
Thanks again. For that.
Well, I want to help scrape you up. I have a nice story for you. It's called How King Arthur Worked, and you can read all about it on HowStuffWorks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@HowStuffWorks.com.
Diamonds Direct Spring Sale starts this weekend. Get 20% off rings, earrings, pendants, bracelets, and more. It's the best store-wide sale of the season. Plus, book an appointment and get an additional $100 off. That's 20% off plus $100 off store-wide. And enjoy an expanded selection of the latest styles with designer appearances each weekend. Tons of engagement rings on sale, too. 20% off starts Friday and opens Sundays. Details at DiamondsDirect.com.
Abusers in Hollywood are as old as the Hollywood sign itself. And while fame is the ultimate prize in Tinseltown, underneath it lies a shroud of mystery. Binge this season of Variety Confidential from Variety, Hollywood's number one entertainment news source and iHeart podcasts. 6 episodes are waiting for you right now to dive into the secret history of the casting couch, to explore the scandalous history of Hollywood's casting process. Listen to Variety Confidential on the iHeart Radio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Big Take from Bloomberg News brings you what's shaping the world's economies with the smartest and best-informed business reporters around the world.
We cover the stories behind what's moving money and markets
and help you understand what's happening, what it means, and why it matters every afternoon. I'm Sarah Holder.
I'm Saleha Mohsen.
And I'm David Gura. Listen to The Big Take on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Saleha Mohsen, and I've covered economic policy for years and reported on how it impacts people across the United States. In 2016, I saw how voters were leaning towards Trump and how so many Americans felt misunderstood by Washington. So I started The Big Take DC. We dig into how money, politics, and power shape government and the consequences for voters. With new episodes every Thursday, you can listen to The Big Take DC on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.